Hare Krishna. So we are continuing further chapter 6, the Dhyana Yoga, and verse 8 we should start now. So I think somebody asked me the question, which is the last part of the purport of verse 7. See the last part of the verse 7? Just starting from, because, can somebody find out the word because? Because this transcendental position at once achieved by, where's microphone? Yes. Three. You did start.
Because this transcendental position is at once achieved by one who is in Krishna consciousness. The body of the Lord is unaffected by the dualities of material existence, namely, stressing happiness, cold and heat.
What do you think? We are not attached and we are not affected by cold and heat. Affected? We are affected by cold and heat, but we tolerate it. We don't give up the service of the Supreme Lord. It's that in a winter, freezing winter, we will not stop Mangalarti. As Mangalarti at the temple will continue. It never stops. So heat and cold does not affect the serving to the Lord. The service is not interrupted by heat and cold. Or else, happiness and distress are honor or dishonor. Whatever may happen, but devotee will never give up his service. Why? Because he has realized that service is his swarup. Service is his constitutional position. How can you give up service? There's no way that we can give up service, because it is our swarup. The definition of the swarup is that you can never give up. It is the dharma of a jiva. Whatever happens, water will never give up its quality of quenching the thirst. It is the dharma of water. The heat has always to give warmth and light. Then it is called fire. So devotee by nature is meant for service. So when he realizes that I am meant for service to the Supreme Lord, then nothing, divinity of this world, disturb his service attitude, his service engagement, his serving activity, whatever happens. The purpose is, he has to please the Lord, not the world. I don't know, somebody said, I don't know what is the key to success, but key to failure is to try to please everyone. The general saying, I don't know what is the key to success, he said, but I know the definite key to failure, try to please everybody. Try to please everybody is definite key to failure. That's what he said. So, devotee is only concerned in pleasing Supreme Lord. He's not really interested to please everybody. But everybody is automatically pleased because he served in the Supreme Lord. He will not take a separate endeavor to please everybody. Prabhupada used to say, everybody's servant is nobody's servant. Everybody's servant is nobody's servant. So, there was a king here ruling India, Mughal Emperor Akbar, the Great. He had a wise minister, his name was Birbal. They were going in market and there was a vegetable wala, and he has Brinjal, Bengal, Brinjal vegetation. And Akbar said, see how beautiful is this. Nice color. Birbal said, Maharaj, it has also ground. See, nice ground. Very wonderful. And they purchased, they cooked. And Akbar ate that, and then King got stomach upset. And next day, morning, he said, you told me it's very nice. Number one, vegetable, it is giving me trouble. And then minister started saying, dear King, this is useless number one vegetable. It always gives trouble. Say, why? Yesterday you were saying it is good and today you are saying bad. Say, Maharaj, I am your servant. I am not servant of Brinjal. You said good, I said good. You said bad, I said bad. I am your servant. I am not the servant of the vegetable. You understand the purpose? So Krishna, I am Krishna's servant. What pleases Krishna, that I will do. I am not everybody's servant. Then this mood is, his activity is a service. So, and nobody is right to stop somebody from doing service. Why? Because that is his swarup. That is his nature. That is his soul's nature. So that person who is on that state is called, this state is practical samadhi and absorption in supreme. And Prabhupada used to call, when the devotee decorates the deities, it is the samadhi with open eyes. He has an open eye samadhi. Samadhi with open eyes. When he's focusing, this is for ear, this is for hand, this is for head. So he's focusing on each limb. This is what the yogi has to focus. So he's focusing right on the, when deity is dressed by the devotee, and then he comes out and see, and the whole day he says, how I decorated in the evening again, he has to put the limb. So this is his samadhi. Everything is focusing is simply deity. There is none different from Krishna. There is a higher state of the devotee who is Mahabhagavat. He then never say this is deity, he is Supreme Lord. That's it. For him, he is not deity. For us, it is deity. For him, it is Supreme Lord himself. And he talks with the Supreme Lord and he walks with the Supreme Lord. Yes.
Devotee
pleases Krishna is pleased, that is the spiritual master and some Vaishnavas. Not everybody. What I'm saying everybody means just he's not living for the common people's purpose. He's living for the Krishna's service. And anything which is for the Krishna's service is ready to take responsibility. Generally speaking, why is he not disturbed by all these things? Because he is fixed in Krishna's service, which also includes anything which is connected with Krishna. Devotees are connected with Krishna, therefore he always has a respect and service mood to the devotees. That is also extended his service. Anything which is connected with Krishna, like Prabhupada used to say, Bhagavan, if you love me, you love my God. Or dog. If you love me, you love my dog. That is a standard. If you love Krishna, you love anything which belongs to Krishna. So that he has respect for all and everything. So let's go to the next verse. Jnana vijnana tripta atma kutastho vichitindriya yogyati uchyate yogi samalosrashamakanchana. The word is tripta atma. Tripta atma means, find out the word to word tripta atma. Satisfied. He is satisfied. By what? He is satisfied by jnana and vijnana. He is satisfied by knowledge and realization. Knowledge that I am soul. Realization that I am service relationship with Supreme. That is vijnana. So he is satisfied by jnana and vijnana. Knowledge and realization. Kutastha vijitindriya. Kutas, you know what is Kutas? Anybody can understand Kutas? Yeah, what is Kutas?
This, to be situated on the top of the mountain means not affected by air.
Kutas. Basically, kutas is, you have seen Goldsmith, he has something called anvil, iron, in Hindi iron, and in English anvil. You understand what I'm saying? Now, he hit on that so many golden things. They change their shape, but that animal never changes. Kutas means he is unchangeable. Things may change. Variety of things will happen. And he is beating his senses on that consciousness. Kutastha, Vijitendriya. He has conquered his senses and he is unshakable by the desire of the senses. Many, many things come in front of eyes, but he is not shakable. Kutastha, he never changes. Scene may change, but he never changes. Temptation may arise, but he never carried away. He is unchangeable. Kutas generally means never changes. Kut. Even whatever you put on there, but it remains as it is. Things may change, he will not change. The kut, what Prabhuji was saying, kut means the top. One who is on the top is not affected by the, you know, if you are on the top of the roof, then two bulls are fighting down, you are not affected by that. That's another way of understanding it. But this kutas, as Acharya has understood, it is a anvil or cannon. You understand this kutas? He is unchangeable. Vijitendriya, he has controlled his senses. And the next word is yukta. And Prabhupada is called yukta, means competent for self-realization. Yukta means united. He is yukta, and yoga are same. Yoga means united, yukta means united. And therefore he is called yogi, because he is connected with Krishna, therefore he is yogi. He is competent for self-realization. And what is, how can you identify that he is competent for the self-realization or he is self-realizing? What are the criteria? He sees material things, some equal. What? Number one, loshtar. Loshtar means tables. Asham means stone. And kanchan means gold. For him, the stone, dirt, pebble, gold are set. What the devotee will do? If he is gold, he will see gold, what will he do? Stone, gold, pebble, what will he do? If he sees gold, he says, I'll make a nice crown for Radha Govind Devi. We find good stone, I'll make a nice temple for Krishna. Not that he don't differentiate what is gold and stone. He knows what is gold and what is stone, but he has no personal attachment to that. For him, they all are equal. For personally, for seva, he knows the stone will not be the crown, but the gold will be the crown. So he has, yeah, he has discrimination, but not personal. This is Bhakta Yogi. But the Jnana Yogis, their husband and wife, they both became devotees. So husband was walking front and wife was walking behind. The husband saw some gold on the path. So he covered with the dirt. So wife from behind said, "What are you doing?" Said, "I thought gold, if you see, you may be attracted." Then wife said, "You still differentiate between gold and stone?" She was more advanced. She said, "It means you have differentiated. This is gold and I will be attracted." So these are the jnanis. Like example, if you find 100 rupees note on the road, what the Tyagi means, what the renunciate will say, "For me, it is nothing. It's a piece of paper. What is that? What is for me? I don't care for it." And a Karmi says, it is, let me enjoy. God has sent for me. And some person who, it's not mine. So what to do with this? And what Bhakta will say? It's Lakshmi. It belongs to Krishna ultimately. So let me put in Krishna's seva. If there's some owner, this is here. Anybody's the owner? Otherwise, Lakshmi's owner is always Narayan. So he is not that he leave that there, but he properly put him in service where he belongs to. It doesn't mean that devotee is fool. He don't know what is gold and what is stone. He knows, but he knows it is for what purpose. It's not for his enjoyment. Is it clear? Not that stone and gold are same, no. But for him they are same bits. And Prabhupada has a different commentary for these two words. See the last line of the purport, the commentary of Prabhupada on these two words, which is a comparative commentary. For him means for the devotee. For him, mundane scholarship and mental speculation, which may be as good as gold to others, are of no greater value than pebble or stone for him. This is Prabhupada's meaning for these two words. Big scholar is speaking so nicely, Sanskrit, meaning this, that, but he don't believe in Krishna as Supreme Lord. He may be great scholar for the world, for the devotees. He may be gold for the others, but for devotees is not better than a stone or paper. That's what Prabhupada is saying here. So, how the Prabhupada starts, see? Book knowledge without realization of the absolute truth is, what is it in the first part, can you see?
Useless.
Therefore, only by reading scripture you can become devotee? No. And then Prabhupada is quoting from Atha Sri Krishna Namadina Bhaveya Grahayam Indriyai Sevana Mukhe Jivada Swayameva Swadhyada. Who will read the translation of this verse? Microphones should go somewhere. Some is.
No one can understand the transcendental nature of the name, born, family and pastimes of Sri Krishna through his materially contaminated senses. Only when one becomes spiritually saturated by transcendental services of the Lord are the transcendental name, form, family and pastimes of the Lord revealed to him. Bhakti Kathamrita.
And then Prabhupada has one small sentence. This Bhagavad Gita is signs of Krishna consciousness. No one can become Krishna conscious simply by mundane scholarship. One must be fortunate enough to associate with a person who is in pure consciousness. Krishna conscious person has realized knowledge, not bookish knowledge. By the grace of Krishna, Jivado, by grace of Krishna, because he is satisfied with pure devotional service. By realized knowledge one becomes perfect. So there are two. Say, realized knowledge and academic knowledge. There's a difference between the two. Can you see in the purport the two lines? There's a difference between the academic knowledge and realized knowledge. To see, there's a difference between the academic knowledge and realized knowledge. Can you see? Realized knowledge cannot be easily deluded. Academic knowledge? Confused, apparent contradictions. Next verse. Soham mitrarya udasin madhya istya dreshu bandhushu sadhushu api chapapeshu sampudya vishishyate. That person who is yoga arud, or a person who has self-realized, he has a sambuddhi, because he has a equipoise vision. Equal one who is vision. What he can see, there are different. Now his different dealings with the people. That was the different dealing with matter. That stage was the sadhu, how is dealing with metal, gold and stone. Now how is dealing with the different persons. So different persons, number one is Sohed, well-wisher. Second is Mitra, friend, beneficiary, benefactor. Three is Ari, enemy. And fourth is Udasin. He is neutral. Madhyayastha, he is mediator. Dvesha, envious. Bandhushu, relative. Sadhushu, a pious. As well as papi to a papi. For him, all the different categories of people, he looked upon them same. How is that? For him? Yeah, for him, all their soul. And same as Brahmani Gavi Hasani is at that stage. The Jnani that stage, this is the stage of a yogi. For yogi, all they are same. Is dealing with them, but he never has seen with an enemy, and he is not carried away by only the friends, he is equal to all. This is the stage. Now the other verses, now the next set of verses, there is no purport for this verse. With all an equal mind, some buddhi. Very difficult. therefore Arjuna rejects this yoga. He said, for some time I can think like that, but how can I think that Yudhishthira and Duryodhana are the same for me? So I cannot practice this yoga. Some examples can be said. Ari, Udasin, Majas, Zilling, and everybody.
There are dear to both, and to the ruffians and to the
they were sent to all. So they were in their transcendental incarnation, their consciousness, they had no enemy. Like when Sanatana Goswami departed from mortal world, whole Braja Mandal they shaved their hand, head, like their father is departed. Everybody shaved their head. Therefore that Purnima, that full moon deva, still is called Murya Purnima. Still it is called Guru Purnima, which is also the day of Sanatana Goswami's disappearance. That day in Braj is called, in Vrindavan is called, in whole Braj Mandal is called Murya Purnima. Means everybody shaved their head because Sanatana Goswami was father for everybody. They consider him father. In a traditional Vedic custom, when elderly person dies in the family, they shave their head. So everybody shaved their head for Sanatana Goswami. Some other example can you see? In Prabhupada's life, how he was dealing same with all? A crazy person came early days in the storefront. And all the devotees were really worried that he may harm Prabhupada. Prabhupada is not good. He went to the bathroom. He just left the toilet paper and he went. And Prabhupada said, see, he also rendered some service. He left something. And next day he came and he was sitting there peacefully. So Prabhupada never disrespected that person who looks like. There was another person who was coming in early days. Everybody was calling Peter crazy. And that Peter crazy, Prabhupada always gave him initiation and respect, and he became Kushikrat, and he translated so many Goswami's book from Sanskrit to English, and he was called by the ordinary people in those days Peter crazy. Peter crazy become the Kushkarta, and he translated so many Goswami literature. So Prabhupada gave full attention to that. Never an angry or agitated. Some other example somebody can cite? In Prabhupada's life, and somebody else, another devotee, you know how he was dealing? Think of something. And this is for us somehow. After all this word, sometimes if somebody is enemy himself, how can we be really well wisher for him? Not think him as enemy. For us to advance, we have to come to all these stages in life sometime.
One person came to steal watch of Prabhupada. And Prabhupada would have left, another person gave it to
him. Not one person. There is a devotee, he is called Bada Haridas now. He is the one who is in charge of the IT in India. He is living in Bombay temple. He was picking pocket. He was in jail. He saw Prabhupada's photo and newspaper with a nice imported watch, golden chain. He said, when I get out from here, I'll go and steal this watch. So he came, when he came out of the jail, he came to Jew temple. He found out where his Prabhupada. And he came to steal the watch. And Prabhupada somehow gave him watch and made him devotee, and he is a Sikh devotee. He tells that sometimes there was not enough money to feed the devotees in the temple early days. And there was no chance, and I used to go and chant, still pickpocket and bring money. And I was working in the kitchen, and Prabhupada was giving initiation, and I just went to say, what is initiation? And Prabhupada said, you sit down. Your name is Haridas. This is your mala. You will tell the other story. See, he's still in Bombay. You went to go and meet him. So, and he was... Prabhupada, when he was translating in the middle of the night, he asked Haridas, you stay and chase the dogs because they are disturbing my translation. So when Prabhupada was leaving from Bombay for some other preaching program, Haridas said, Prabhupada, now what is my service? He said, now you chase two-legged animals. So there will be many people that are disturbing this ISKCON property with Jew. Now you chase the two-legged. So he said, still I am chasing two-legged animals from the property. It's very interesting. It's very, very typical type of person, not normal, common. It's a little different. So Prabhupada dealt with him so nicely. And he used to go for preaching and for purchasing. And Prabhupada would ask, so where is two paisa? Where is two paisa? He is counting each penny from the account. Phew, he was really. And then he dedicated his life, still he is there. So next verse. Yogi yunjit sattam atmanam rajishtha So now this is the second section of starting. The stages in yoga practice are samadhi. So this is certain stage. What is that stage? Yogi yunjit satatam. Satatam means always. Yunjit means engaged. Yogi will always be engaged. Prabhupada translated yunjit as must concentrate in Krishna consciousness. Constantly, always. Atmanam rasi sthita. Where he will be sitting? In secondary place. This verse came as one thing necessary for yoga. Ekaki. Alone. Rehensi. Rehensi means in secluded place. And what he should do there? Yat chit atma. Yat chit atma. Careful in mind. Yat means careful. Very, very careful. Niramashrihi, not without being attracted by anything else, not depending on anything else. Aparigraha is not that when he go for meditation he get a truck full of things there and set the whole house and then do meditation. No feeling of possessiveness. In 95-96 when I came to Vrindavan, here on this spot where we are coming in Goshala, I met some person, I don't know who he was, but I said, what you are doing here now? I said, I just came here, I'm looking for some place that I can buy and build some house and live here and do bhajan. He told me, fool? You will build a house and then you will do bhajan? Forget. You are following Goswamis, they lived under the trees. So you want to do bhajan, then live on the retreat. If you build a house, you will never be able to do bhajan. And then he did. And never saw him again. So if you make house and you have all the possession, then you will be most of the time engaged in protecting your possession, not protecting your atma. You will not be concentrating on air, supreme Lord. You must be concentrating on your possessions. Even if you have one thing extra, then you will be in trouble. You have this story, very common story in this kind of one extra loin cloth will cause you to get a cat and then a bread and cat and cow, and then you have to have a house, and then everything is finished. You know this story? No? Everybody knows this story. A parigraha, not having many things, lota and langota. It is said in Braj Bhasha, Braj ko baas baro kathan more bhai. My brothers, to stay in Vrindavan is very difficult. Why? Bahir bandar andar chuha. If you have one cloth to wear, if you put it for drying outside, monkey will tear and take away. If you keep inside your house, the mouse will come and eat it out. Bahir, bandar, andar, chuha, chor, baro, tu badai, and if you save from them, in the night somebody will steal. Braj ko baas baro kathan more bhai. It is very difficult to live in the holy place and holy consciousness. If you keep anything more than necessary, you will always be in. Then the one verse in second chapter of Bhagavad Gita. Vasansi jiranani yatha vihaya nava nigranati naro vaprani. What is the translation of this verse? Yes? As the torn cloths are changed and new cloth you get, similarly the old bodies leave the soul and get the new bodies. And my realization of purport on this verse is, the more the dresses you have, the more life you want to come back again. And you keep one dress, two dresses, no problem. More dresses, more bodies you are trying to enjoy in more bodies. And when I sit first time in Bangalore, once my friend came, he said, this is what will happen to my wife. Two big wardrobes full of sarees. So the ultimate end is, if we have lesser possession, we will be more safer for practicing Krishna consciousness. More possessions, more problem. Is it okay? So, aparigraha. Krishna is realized in different degrees. Krishna is realized in different degrees as Brahma Paramatma and Supreme Personality of Godhead. So those who are realizing the Brahma and Paramatma, they are partially advanced. Their perfection is partial. Then Rupa Goswami's two verses Prabhupada is quoted from Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu. So sooner or later they should come to the highest perfection. The first business of the transcendentalist is to keep the mind always on Krishna. One should think of Krishna and not forget him even for a moment. This is the bottom line. One should think of Krishna and not forget him even for a moment. Concentration of the mind on the Supreme is called Samadhi or trance. Rupa Goswami is to these verses. Anasakta Vishyam. Nirbandha Krishna Sambandha Yukta Vairagya Mucchate. Anything which is connected with Krishna, we accept. Anything which is not connected with Krishna, we reject. That is the standard. Now, the practice, how to practice Ashtanga Yoga. So these two verses, we are, there is one common thing.
Sucha deshe pratisthapya istramas namatmana nati ucchetam nati nisham chailajan kushotaram tatraikagram manakritva yachitin yakriya upavishya sane yunjaya yogamatma vishadjaya
Sucha deshe. Sucha deshe means purpose, what is Prabhupada writing in Sucha Deshe? Place of pilgrimage in India, the transcendental practice where Prayag, Mathura, Vrindavan, Rishikesh, Hardwar, and then Prabhupada will comment where the Ganga and Yamuna flows. But often this is not possible, especially for Westerners. The so-called yoga society in big cities may be successful in earning material benefit, but they are not at all suitable for actual practice of yoga. Sutya Udeshe, not in the city. It should not be in the city. All yoga clubs in the cities are useless. Why? This is not Sucha Udeshe. It is not pure place. It is not sanctified place. In all these yoga societies, they are focusing on, by doing some exercise, we'll get health. And then what will we do? We'll enjoy it. Therefore, all this yoga is bhoga. So then Prabhupada is telling what is the yoga practical for this age from Brahmanarodhya Purana. This is the verse Chaitanya Mahaprabhu always quoted. The people of Kali Yuga have short lives. They will be short-lived, very slow in spiritual realization. Whatever do you think? Are we slow or very fast in Krishna consciousness? Quite slow because of the Kali Yuga. It's slow. And always disturbed by anxiety. Are we disturbed by anxiety? Yes. Therefore, Hare Nam. And any devotee who comes in Krishna consciousness, this is the first verse they always remember. And next verse, which verse they remember? Sarva Dharman Paritese. And throughout life, they will never reach to that. These are the two verses we memorize first, and the whole life it takes to reach to the up to the standard of these two verses. Is it right? Radha? Sarvadharmaan Paritese, we chant it like, you see, as the parrot, we know everything. Maam Sharanam Ekam Sharanagati Hare Krishna. Now this was the place. Prabhupada has something to say. Anyway, you see this, these two verses are this one common thing. And then asana is Chalajan Kushottaram, Kush grass. Asana should be Kush grass. And then this is next verses in which is the body, how the position of the body should be. Mm-hmm. little different meaning of these words. But before I want to see this, one minute. Okay, Prabhupada has some quotation on this. Asana, there is something about asana, Prabhupada, there is something. Not here, maybe somewhere else, I can tell you. Prabhupada did one lecture, early days in. He said, asana, everybody should use his own asana. Asana should not be very high. It should be not very low. First push glance, then put a deer skin or tiger skin, then put a cotton cloth on the top of that. And this asana, why they used to put all these two skins, a deer skin or tiger skin? This chelajan, chelajan means the skin of the deer. Prabhupada said in one of the lecture early days, because they are in the jungle, they are in the forest, where these skin has some chemicals, they have some special smell or fragrance where the snakes and other reptiles, they will never come nearby. So when they sit on those asanas, and during meditation, they will know dangerous creature comes near to them. That's Prabhupada, one lecture is like that. Usually everybody should have his own asana for sitting. And you should have a own place for even chanting. If we have a proper place in a home for chanting and proper asana, then we will have a proper consciousness. Like mala should not be changed. I think the three words, they should never be changed. Like asana and the karmandalu, and the third thing is something there, like japa bead, they should never be, one should not use the other one. So they should have their own. These are some rules for chanting. So these verses, now the next two verses, that was about the asana and place. Now about the body, how the yogi should sit. The next, 13 and 14. Samankaya shrogrivam dharyam achalam istira sampreshana sigatam swam dishasyam lokayam prashantarma virati brahmachari vritesara manasanyam majjisto yuga ayukta asitamatvara. So samankaya shrogrivam. The kaya means whole body, griya means neck, and sro means head. So they should be in one line. It means the spinal cord should be in a straight line from the back. And even Prabhupada, while chanting the devotees in Prabhupada's Hare Krishna chanting, he speaks, sit properly, sit properly. For chanting, you have to sit properly. So for yoga, this is the, this is what? Dharyam acham istra, hold still. That's not. Hare Krishna. No moving side to side. Not. When you are in yoga, you have to have whole still. And then dharya matlab is the hold it. Sampreksha nasagram. Sampreksha nasagram swam dishasyarno lokyam. Then you focus your vision on to the tip of the nose. Half closed eyes. Vigat vihi. Dwell up any fear. No fear anymore. Brahmachari vritti, celibacy, person, uneducated. Mat chitta, concentrate on Krishna. Mat, when Krishna is speaking, mat means me. You concentrate on me, chitta means with your mind. So these are the bodily position for the one who. So Prabhupada has some interesting purpose for this. The goal of the life is to know Krishna, who is situated within the heart of every living being as Paramatma, a four-handed Vishnu Pad. The yoga process is practiced in order to discover and see this localized form of Vishnu, and not for any other purpose. The localized Vishnu Murti is the plenary representation of Krishna dwelling within one's heart. So Vishnu Murti situated in one's heart is the object of yoga. Therefore, one has to leave home, live alone in this emerald place. Remaining children mentioned above, one cannot enjoy sex like Delhi at home or elsewhere and attend so-called yoga classes and just become a yogi. This is Prabhupada is condemning the yoga classes which are in big cities and big business. And the rules of celibacy written by the great saint Yagal Vakya is Karmana Manasa Vacha Sarva Avasthapsu Sarvada Sarvatra Maitun Nityago Brahmacharyam Parichakshate. The vow of Brahmacharya is meant to help one completely abstain from self indulgence in work, words, and mind. At all times, under all circumstances, in all places. So difficult. It can only happen when the 5-year children are trained from the beginning in this discipline. And trained, what actually the purpose and objective of Brahmacharya is. Therefore, Prabhupada writes, therefore, no one can perform correct yoga practice till second. Brahmacharya starts, therefore, from the childhood, when one has no knowledge of sex life. So, learn the purpose for this verse, Prabhupada. The Prabhupada wanted Guru Purush to start, but somehow we are not really able up to mark. One who, however, follows the rules of regulation of married life, having a sexual relation only with wife, and regulation is also brahmacharya. So, grihastha is also called brahmacharya. Ek vartadhari, ek nari vartadhari brahmacharya. That's called ek nari vartadhari brahmacharya. One only keep one wife and live regular life is also considered brahmachari, is a grihastha brahmachari. And such a householder brahmachari may be accepted in bhakti school, but the jnana and dhyana school do not even admit householder brahmacharis. Can you see what Prabhupada is saying here? It means the yoga ladder, jnana and dhyana, is not for the grihasthas. This is only for the celibate students, brahmacharis, who were hearing Bhagavatam in a name of Sharanya. All 88,000 were Urdhareta. They all were brahmacharis. They were all Urdhareta. They require complete action without compromise. In bhakti school, a householder brahmachari alone controls sex life, because the cult of bhakti yoga is so powerful that one automatically loses sexual attraction, being engaged in the superior service of the Lord. Bhagavad Gita, Vishyavinvarte, Niramarsate, Namrasovadanaswapyase, Paramdashtuaranivartate. When they get a higher taste, they will give up lower taste. But when they will get higher taste? That is the question. Vigat be fearless. And from Bhagavatam, Prabhupada is quoting words. Krishna consciousness is the only basis for fearlessness. Bhajore manam, srinandanandan, abhayacharna. If you want to be fearless, just speak to the lotus feet of Krishna.
What kind of fear?
What
type of? Fear. What is the fear?
Actually, the biggest fear is of losing something and losing the life. Death is the biggest fear. In this world, the biggest fear is death, and similar fears of losing something which we love or which we like. If we like Krishna, if we love Krishna, and we can never lose Krishna, so why should we be fearful? Then what is the last line of the Purport Prabhupada is saying? The principle of the yoga system mentioned here are different from those of the popular so-called yoga societies. 2 years back, maybe 3 years back in Bangalore, at the Sri Sri Ravi Shankar's ashram, there was some ad control conference and some saintly people from all over India were invited. Somehow I happened to be there and they gave me some time to speak. I said, the yoga practice without the yam and men, only asana and pranayama, is cheating. And he's teaching the yoga of their side. When I said something like that, everybody was... I had paper printed and I just handed it to everybody. How can this happen? I'm saying, see, the definition of ad, which I got from some of our intelligent students, I put it, ad means, what is the ad? What ad is from?
Auto.
Acquired immunodeficiency syndrome. And the definition I gave is acquired immunodeficiency. It's not coming. What happened? It's not coming in mind. Let me think of. So anyway, then they asked me to stop. She says, the time is over. Because it was really exposing what was going on there. Intelligence deficiency syndrome. AIDS is an intelligence deficiency syndrome. Since if there's intelligence, why did they just see and they still drown there? What can you say? They're knowing and doing it. It's intelligent deficiency syndrome. It's not immunodeficiency syndrome. It's intelligent deficiency syndrome. It's an interesting thing. I think somewhere I had that paper written which I gave to them. So these all societies are not according to these scriptures. Next verse, verse 15. Yunyan evam sada atmanam yogi niyatamanasah shanti nirvana paramam matakshanthana dikashati. Yunyan evam, when practicing like this as mentioned, sada, constantly, atman, body, mind and soul, yogi niyatamanasah, yogi mystic, niyatamanasah means regulated mind, mind which is controlled. Shantim, he will get peace. And what is that peace? Nirvana paramam, he will be free from all material existence for him, no pain. Madhisthanam, he will come to the spiritual sky, he will reach there. Ultimate aim of practicing yoga is really excellent. It's not for any material facility. It is for anyone's cessation of all material existence. This is what Prabhupada said. One who seeks an improvement in health or aspires after material perfection is not a yogi according to Bhagavad Gita. Nor does cessation of material existence entail one's entering into the wild, which is only a myth. There is no white anywhere within the creation of the Lord. Rather, the cessation of material existence enables one to enter into the spiritual sky, abode of the Lord. The abode of the Lord is also clearly described in Bhagavad Gita. That place that there is no need of sun, moon, electricity, was from 15th chapter of Bhagavad Gita, Natad Bhasyate Surya. So what is in this verse mainly? The purpose of the yoga is to reach to the superior destination, to the spiritual sky, not get any facilities of this material world. So in this verse there are these three words. Somewhere Prabhupada has put in three words. A consummate yogi who is perfect in understanding Lord Krishna, as is clearly said here and by the word in Lord Nityananda, mat chitta, mat paraha, mat sthanam. Mat chitta means mind attached on me. Mat paraha, taking my shelter. Mat sthanam will come to me. He will attain peace, real peace, and reach to Krishna Loka. So what is on the next side? In other words, last line sentence, in other words, perfection of yoga system is the attainment of freedom from material existence and not some magical jugglery or gymnastic feast to befool innocent people. Okay, 16. So what is the word taken on Ashtanga Yoga in this category? Nirvana Paramam, stop material existence. Yukta. So verse 16. Nāti aśantastu yogo asti na caikāntam anśantah na jāti sokam sīlasya jāgato na caiva jāgyana. One eats too much, or too little, sleeps too much, and does not sleep enough. So yogi has to have moderation of everything. If he eats too much, then he will sleep too much. If he eats too less, then he will not be having energy to work. And his stomach will be filled with the air, and he will be in the air. Bhujan Prabhu has written, normally half of the stomach will be full with food, one fourth watery and one fourth for the air. If you eat less, then the rest of will be full with air, and then you will have a trouble. So it should be neither empty nor completely full. If you full the stomach, then it is like your mixie. If you full the mixie and then when you move the mixie, then what will happen? It will just sprinkle everywhere. Why? Because mixie needs some space for moving. So stomach is a mixie. It just does the churning inside. And there must be space for mixing. No space, then you have to, you yourself become a mixie. You have to move, there's no way. So here is the regulation of diet and sleep is recommended even for the yogis. And the food is mode of goodness, ignorance, that is also described in Bhagavad Gita. Therefore, those who indulge in animal food, drinking, smoking and eating food, which is not first offered to the Krishna, will suffer sinful reaction because of eating only polluted things. Bhunjante nitya gham papari panam jihad mukarna. And for sleep, Prabhupada said, sleep more than 6 hours. There is no, not more than 6 hours. One who sleeps more than 6 hours out of 24 is certainly influenced by mode of ignorance in the last part. Anyway, this is something common. Nothing much in this next verse.
युक्ताहार विहारस्य युक्तचित्तस्य कर्मसो युक्तस्वप्नो बोधस्य योगो भवति सुखः.
For him, the yoga is very difficult. Who one? He who is regulated in the habits of eating, sleeping and recreation, and work can mitigate anti-work, can mitigate all material pains by practicing the yoga system. So here Prabhupada has to say something. Yukta harviharasya. So, read, where is the microphone? Too much sleeping? Yes? Go to those who are sleeping. You are not sleeping. Very good. So let it come to which Priya? Priya Mandiri? Prema Mandiri. What is Prabhupada speaking here?
You eat, but don't eat more. That's all. Therefore, here it is said, there is no possibility of one's becoming a yogi. If you try to become immediately Raghunadas Swami by imitating, you will fail. Whatever progress you can
do. So what Raghunadas was doing that you will imitate, what he was doing? He was drinking a cup of buttermilk. So, who can do that? Is somebody moved to do that? Live? How many months? One day? No. That is good, okay.
Whatever progress you have made, that will be finished. Not that. You eat, but don't eat more. That's all. Eating more is no good. So, here is that. There is no possibility of one becoming a yogi or a jnana if one eats too much or eats too little. Very nice program. Don't eat too little. You eat whatever you require, but don't eat more. Similarly, don't eat more. If you can keep your fat perfect, but try to reduce it.
This is so first lecture somewhere. It is too hard. So what is in our words here? This is what Prabhupada has lectured. So what we have four things here? Eating, sleeping, recreation and yukta ahar, yukta vihar, yukta cheshtasya karma and the work. So what four things has to be regulated? And Prabhupada has taken us to the some other aspect of the four things. Can you see those four things? Extravagance in matter of eating, sleeping, defending and mating, which demand of the body can block advancement in practice of yoga. Then what we should eat? Vegetarian diet, Prabhupada is eating. One other thing which Prabhupada has written something down, you can see. Avyarth kalavatam, kalatva. Not waste a moment. Therefore, sleeping should be minimum. Then Prabhupada is giving example of Prabhu Rupa Goswami and Haridas Thakur. Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur had said, recreation means walking. The devotees should walking, recreation, walking something, walking, yeah. And for us, recreation is going to the spiritual places for retreat, the Japa retreat, and Bhagavad retreat. That recreation should be shared. Always there should be two vacations in a year and go to the holy places, associate with the devotees, chant more, read more, hear more. That is good, but everybody has a vacation, but they go to some other places to enjoy. That should be stopped. And work should also be regulated. It's not that more than necessary. If we work more than necessary, then we will have no time for chanting. And therefore, commonly those who have more working hours, they chant when they are driving. Commonly, many devotees in the Middle East and in foreign countries where they have worked more than this is required hours, when they are driving, they are chanting usually. And we cannot stop them. Once Prabhupada was driven by a devotee and he was chanting. So Prabhupada said, I like you drive with both hands. He simply, very gently said, I prefer you drive with both hands. It means you don't chant when you are driving. Prabhupada said in a different way. If you cannot concentrate when you are driving, then you are chanting. Can you concentrate? How can you concentrate when you are driving? But we don't say them anything because somehow they are doing something.
But
they don't have time.
They are not doing something.
Huh? They are doing something. But what can we do? This is because they have work very demanding. Because they want a filthy salary. It's not, it's what's called fat salary. They want to get more money, so they have to work more. And when they work more, then they cannot practice Krishna consciousness. So this is like typically driving and chanting is very commonly seen even in Delhi and Bombay. Devotees are doing like that mostly. Because they have 2 hours of driving and then you don't drive hell. Keep a driver and chant in the back of your car. Or just go in a train or bus and then chant all the way. And personally I have said, when we are preaching, most of the time we come back in the middle of the night at 12 o'clock. And then morning 7 o'clock is one perversion, 10 o'clock. So whole day when there is a traveling, I plan that I have to chant during these 2 hours when I travel. No business, no disturbance. Because most of the time you have to fix some time for chanting in your mind. And yet you do that. It's not that anything and everything and every time can be done. So for us work, regulation of all these things, some spiritual picnics should always be there. Where even if you don't afford to go to the holy places, you take few families together and just less expensive places there and have some recreation spiritual, some drama, something. Do something. It's not just don't be a monotonous. Krishna consciousness is a big variety. It's not a monotonous life. And then there's a group of the devotees, very nice, well-to-do families. On Sundays or some other days, they go and do the drama in the streets. In front of the big malls, they do small, small dramas. Then people watch the drama, then they talk some little philosophy. Then they do kirtan and distribute books. So this is also recreation, just to do some drama. You do something, some activity. So next verse is 18.
Yada vinyatam chittam mātmane vāvatiṣṭhate nispaha sarva-kāmyebhyo yukta-iti ucchyate.
So here yukta-iti, ucchyate tada. So yukta, well situated in yoga. Who is well situated in yoga? When the yogi, by practice of yoga, discipline his mental activities. Vinyatam chittam. Vinyatam, discipline. Chittam, mind.
and its activities. What are mind's activities? Honey? Thinking, willing, sankalpa, vikalpa. So when Krishna says, offer your mind to me, what you will offer? The activities of the mind to be Krishna. Think for Krishna, will for Krishna, do, desire for Krishna. It's not that when Krishna says, you offer me mind, then you put your mind in the plate and offer to the Krishna. The activities of the mind has to be offered. So what are the activities of the mind? Mind is a driver. So, deceived and the mental activity has become situated in transcendence, devoid of all material desires. Nispraha sarvakamevyo. Nispraha sarvakamevyo. He has no material desires. Kamevyo means desire. Sarva means all. Nispraha means he is not at all. He has no desire for desire of material enjoyment. Spurdi nahi ho rahi nispra sarv kame ki. And then Prabhupada is quoting here. Again Prabhupada is focusing that for yogi, of all the desires, the sex desires keep, that has to be stopped. And then how one can do this, Prabhupada is quoting from Bhagavatam, Ambarish Maharaj, 3 verses, how the all senses can be disciplined. You know, Raghunath Das Goswami has written one book which is called Mana Siksha, giving a teaching to one's own mind. So that is, there's our Acharya has written Mana Siksha. And our Bhaktivinoda Thakur is nice. My wicked mind, my rascal mind, something that they have said a lot about the mind to control mind. It's not that yogis control. We have also in our parampara a lot about the mind. Prabhupada has described the word yukta in the last part of the purport. Can you see? Archana, can you see archana? In the devotional service of Lord, therefore, these prescribed activities are called archana. Are engaged in all the senses in the service of the Lord. The senses and mind requires engagement. Simple abnegation is not practical, therefore, for people in general, especially those who are not in the renounced order of life. Transcendental engagement of senses of the mind is described above as perfect process for transcendental achievement, which is called yukta in Bhagavad Gita. Yukta means always engaged in the service. Now, what should be his mind's position? If he is yogi, he is perfect, then his mind will be like verse 19. His mind will be yatha dipo nivasisto nengate sopamasmata yogino chata yatisasya yunyato yogamasmata yatha dipo. Dipo means lamp. Lamp means what ghee lamp would be offered and Damodar Mas. If that is in a place where there is no air, no wind, no fan, then that lamp will have a, it will not be wavering at all. It is just fixed. Nivata is the place without wind. Never engati, never waver. And similarly, yogi is chitta. His mind never goes here and there on any sense objects from hell or a Krishna. A lamp in the windless place does not waver. So the transcendental whose mind is controlled remain always in steadiness, meditating on the transcendental self. He does not look here and there for any. Hare Krishna. Now there are three more verses, and there's a lengthy purport on this, and that we will do at least now. You want a little 5 minutes, little break? No? You have some question? You want to discuss something? Some topic to discuss? This verse has a lengthy purport. So let us finish this. Let us read these three verses for the pleasure of Prabhupada and Krishna. Yatro paramate chittam nirudham yoga sevaya yatra cevatma manam pachana panitushyate srutukham arjantam yattar budhigrayam abhindyam vedi yatra daivayam sithitas chalate tatvata yam tatvata parambaham manyate nadikam kata yasvin sito na dukkena So this is something what Prabhupada saw. Let us read the translation. Microphone, somebody should read translation. Yes, start she.
In this stage of perfection called trance or samadhi, one's mind is completely restrained from material mental activity by practice of yoga. This perfection is characterized by one's ability to see the self by the pure mind and to relish and rejoice in the self. In that joyous state, one is situated in boundless transcendental happiness, realized through transcendental senses. Established that one never departs from the truth. And upon gaining this, he thinks there is no greater gain. Being situated in such a position, one is never shaken, even in the midst of greatest difficulty. This indeed is actual freedom from all miseries arising from material contact.
So there are very interesting terms in the translation. Can you read? Yeah. See the self by pure mind. And I can see the self by pure mind. It means he sees the Atma. Number one. Number two, through transcendental senses. What are transcendental senses?
See, why does Prabhupada capitalize self?
Huh?
Why does Prabhupada capitalize self?
What is capitalized?
Self.
Self? Oh, self means then. It is a self, it is small, it's not capital. It's a small self.
Oh.
Atma, not Paramatma, right?
It's capital S in my translation.
Huh?
It's capital S in my translation.
But in our translation it is small, huh?
Super self, super
self. Here it is small self. So somehow it is small self here. So transcendental senses, Ananda, Gopinath, this is I, is this sense? What is this? This is a, like you get the skull, you get the place for the eye there, you know. If you have a skull, then there is a place of eye. So what do you call that? That is a?
Socket.
A socket for the eye. All these senses which see, they are sockets. there are some sitting places for the senses. Senses are actually in the mind. They are fixed around the mind. And it is in 15th chapter of Bhagavad Gita. Shrotram chakshu rasnam grahanam evacha adishtaya manushtayam. Around the mind all these senses are fixed. So these are the outlet of the senses. But senses are different than this. Prabhupada used to give one example. Iron rod, when put in the fire, then it becomes red, hot red, and then it will act as a fire. So senses, when applied in service of the Supreme Self, then they become purified, and then they become transcendental. God is transcendental, His service is transcendental, and then senses become transcendental. Ultimately, we should have our transcendental body and transcendental senses. Now, and Prabhupada used to give some another example. When you wear the gloves on the hands, so all these senses of the glove, inside is a different thing. I mean, if you put your hand in a glove, so this body is a glove which is on the arm, and all senses are the sockets or the gloves for the senses which are inside. So now they are covered with the glove which is material. When you forget that material consciousness, when you get above the material consciousness of the outer covering, then your senses, soul is transcendental, and then anything which comes in contact with soul, and soul when come in contact with super soul, then it will be spiritualized. So transcendental senses means senses which transcend the material conception of the sense objects and sense enjoyment. So this is a lengthy purport, but we should read this purport. Okay? From where we should read. Now here Samadhi, Prabhupada is describing. Samadhi, which means the yogi realizes super soul through transcendental mind and intelligence. Why is that? Because super soul is transcendental. It cannot be realized by material mind and material senses. Is it right? How can you realize material, transcendental super soul with material senses? So therefore senses and mind are transcendental. See the words. Can you focus on these words for a moment? Can you reach understand in the purport these things? Is it clear? Samadhi, which means the yogi realizes super soul through transcendental mind and intelligence, without any of the misgiving of identifying the self with the super self. This is safeguarding Prabhupada's, that self and super self are different. I have my own realization. Self-realization means realizing that I am soul, I am not body. And even in meditation you can see the soul which is blissful, which is all say jyoti, which is all actually very light. It's effulgent. It's effulgent, it is very blissful, satchitta. That realization we can have, yes, but that is not all. Then you have to have realization of the supreme soul or the super soul. Then the next stage, Bhagavad realization of super soul. Super soul for devotee, for in everybody's heart, super soul is Paramatma. But for devotee, Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur writes, for devotee, that same Paramatma, for the devotee becomes Shyamasundara. Within the heart, he becomes Shyamasundara. We read from Brahma Santa, Preman Janchurita Bhakti Vilochanena Santasadeva Hirdesho Vilokaya Yam Shyamasundara. In the Hirde, in the heart, he is always seeing Shyamasundara. How is that Shyamasundara? Because that Paramatma, he has become himself Shyamasundara for devotee. Now what was the point of discussion? So my realization is this, like this when I preach. Self-realization is like that. You know the small baby girl, 3, 4, 5 years, 6 years, 9 years. She can mix with anybody and everybody. She can go on the lap of the any other man, then everybody loves. Anybody has any problem with that? No, nobody has any problem. Because she don't know what she is, she says baby, it's okay. But when she becomes after 16, 17, 18, then she knows, no, I am a grown up girl, I should not mix with everybody. Her sense is completely different. So now she has a completely different outlook of the world. She don't want to mix with anybody except the close relatives, something like that. So that is the stage of self-realization. It means now I think I am Atma. I am not this body for this material world. I am this Atma and I have some different function than actually doing all these material things. But will that girl be satisfied by knowing that I have grown up? No. What she need? Now she needs to get a husband. Because she has to love and she has to serve. And she wants to be happy. So self-realized person, when he look for the God, find out the God, and start loving and serving Him, that is God realization, which is the next step. Any grown-up girl is not satisfied until unless she find a proper husband and serve and love. So similarly, no self-realized person will be satisfied unless he realizes the Supreme Self. And therefore the word is Varenyam. You know, in Gayatri there is a word Varenyam. Varenyam means, var means husband actually. In Sanskrit, var means husband. And vadhu means girl. So it means soul will embrace the Supreme Lord, Varenyam. And varan means actually embracing. So when soul embraces the Supreme Soul, they are not one. They are one, like husband and wife, they are not one, but they are one in understanding that we have to serve together. One has to be served. One. So there is a oneness with the Supreme Lord, but not oneness in Supreme Lord with carrying out His order, being obedient, being always serving in that mood. So here, these two things, that this person, he has realized his self and super self. So then Prabhupada is still actually preaching that soul and super soul are not one. Because the first part of preaching is that. Patanjali's system is like that. So then Prabhupada is quoting Yoga Sutra of Patanjali, 334. Purusha artha shunyanam gunanam prati Prashvaha Kaivalyam Swarupa Pratishthava Chita Shakti Di. Now this is a sutra from the Upasandriya. Prabhupada says, Chit Shakti. What is Chit Shakti? Read the purport. Chit Shakti. Internal potency. Chit Shakti is internal potency. It's transcendental. Purushartha. Which means?
Material.
I said, Purushartha, you know, all those who have background from the, you know, Vedic culture, you know Purusharth, there are four Purusharth. Dharma, Artha, Kama, Moksha. Dharma, Artha. By Dharma, you get Artha. And then with Artha, you enjoy Kama. By Dharma means by religiosity. Artha means earn money. And when you earn money by a religious principle, then third is you enjoy. But never forget that you have to be liberated. This is called Purusharatha. And I think there is one book came about the Grastha, four Purusharatha. Some Prabhupada disciple has written, these are four Purusharatha. So Prabhupada has written, four Purusharatha. Huh? These are the four Purusharatha. This oneness with the Supreme is called Kaivalyam by the monist. According to Patanjali, this Kaivalyam is an internal or transcendental potency by which the living entity becomes aware of its constituted position. In the words of Sri Chaitanya, Lord Chaitanya, this state of affair is called Chetodarpanamarjana. So, yesterday, you remember we have Kaivalya word. Huh? Chapter 5, there was a word Kaivalya. Kayena manasa buddhaya kevalaya api yoginaha korvanti. Kaivalya, and there Kaivalya is translated as purified. There Kaivalya's meaning was? You remember yesterday we discussed this, Kaivalya purified. Purified senses. Purified kayena mansa buddhaya kevalaya indriyerapi yogina karma kurvanti atma shuddhyaye, for the purification of existence. So that kevalaya means purified senses. They are transcendental senses. Purified senses are transcendental. So here kevalaya means, in the Lord Chaitanya's definition, Kevalya means Chetu Darpan Marjan. It means the purification of the heart. Kevalya means purification of the heart. Chetu Darpan Marjan. Bhavanaha Bhav Mahadavagni Nirvapana. So this is also Nirvapana, the theory of Nirvana. Also preliminary, correspond with this principle. In Bhagavatam, it is called Swarupena Vivasthitaha. Bhagavad Gita also comes from this situation in this verse. Nirvana. What is Nirvana? Nirvana is a material situation. What it means? No more miseries. Nirvana means no more miseries, no suffering. And the other aspect of the Nirvana is when the material misery is stopped, then spiritual activity starts. Material misery is stopped, spiritual activities start. And these are called devotional service. And the Bhagavatam, according to Bhagavatam, that is called Swarupena Vivasthita. Patanjali also accept this by the word Kaivalyam Swarupa Pratishtha Vachit Shakti Iti. This Chit Shakti is transcendental pleasure. It's real life. Is also confirmed in Vedanta Sutra. Anandamayo Abhyasat. Now Prabhupada is discussing two types of samadhis. Okay? Word Kevalya, according to Patanjali, Kevalya, Chit Shakti, all these are focusing on what? The purified senses and engaging in the palliative service. After cessation of material miseries or enjoyment mentality. Now, there are two types of samadhis. Can you find? One type of samadhi is called sampragyata samadhi, and another is asampragyata samadhi. So what is sampragya samadhi? Can somebody read? Any where is microphone? Sudakshi, give me Sanatani. Sanatani, you look for the what is called
when? Yeah, when one comes situated in a transcendental position by various philosophical researchers, he is said to have achieved sampragnata samadhi.
So sampragnata samadhi is by philosophical research.
In the asampragnata samadhi, there is no longer any connection with mundane pleasure, for one is then transcendental to all sorts of happiness derived from the senses. When the yogi is once situated in the transcendental position, he is never shaken from it. Unless the yogi is able to reach this position, he is unsuccessful. Today,
okay. So these two samadhis, what are these two? One samadhi is by philosophical research, and one samadhi is by yoga practice. And that which is by yoga practice is not checking. So these two samadhi definition, we are not actually part of the samadhi. For your exam, there may be what is this samadhi and what is this samadhi. Okay? So unless, what is today's so-called yogi practice, yoga practice? And nothing else. I said the internal section, induction, mockery. Even those yogis were attracted by the siddhis. In the process, yoga are not perfectly situated. Now, Prabhupada is here. There are many impediments, especially in the stage of hypoplasia. Hatha yoga, dhyana yoga, jnana, but there is no such problem in using karma yoga or bhakti yoga. So, what is the last part of the purport? Then we finish it here. So, microphone. Microphone.
A person who is Krishna conscious,
when this?
A person who is pure bhakti yoga or in Krishna consciousness,
mm-hmm.
does not arouse his senses for a meeting with the demands of the body.
Rather,
he accepts the bare necessities of life, making the best use of the bad body, and enjoys.
What is the bad bargain?
The body.
And what is the good use of this? Use in the service of the Krishna. Okay.
And enjoys transcendental happiness in Krishna consciousness.
He is callous towards incidental occurrence such as accident, disease, scarcity, or even death of most dear relatives. But he is always alert to execute his duties in Krishna consciousness and bhakti yoga. What is this? Callous. And devotee is callous? He says he is callous.
That is always alert to execute his duties.
Accident can never deviate him from his duty. So is devotee callous? So this is, let us discuss 2 minutes on this topic. Is devotee callous? Says devotee is callous.
Detached.
Huh? What does callous mean actually? Like a stone. No feeling. Callous means has no feeling. Do devotee have no feeling? Devotee is very soft-hearted, he cannot see the suffering of other people, then how can he be careless? So like this, sometimes death occurs in the family. And usually it is said no worship should be done during their time. It is sutta. It is what is called contaminated period. Shall we start chanting at that time?
Yes.
No. Chantings are transcendental. We cannot stop chanting. We can stop worship of the deity if it is in the house. It can be given to some other person, but we cannot stop chanting. That's what it means. What is our commitment to the spiritual master when we take initiation? I'll chant minimum 16 rounds and fall 40. So that we will not break in any circumstances. Whatever happens. Whatever happens, we should never break the rules which we have voluntarily accepted. That is one understanding. And the other is, what devotee, if some dear relative dies, will not cry, will not weep, will not tears come in his eyes? Yes, it will come. And even Bhagavad with this, when husband departs, the wife cries, and when good spiritual master departs, the disciple cries. Yes, it is natural. This will happen, but he knows that his soul. Once we were doing, I was supposed to reach in some program. And I reached there and devotees were dancing and doing kirtan. And then later somebody told me, this is the program because his father departed 3 days back. I said, his father departed 3 days back and he was dancing and chanting. I said, people all around, different houses, they will really be... what is this? Somebody's house is dead at that time and how you are dancing? I arrived there and they were doing it. And then told him, this is the program. He has invited us because his father departed. And then I spoke. And I spoke, he said, I said, you know, when girl is married, the parents, when she is leaving the house, going to the husband's house, the mother cries. Christ, and she's very happy also. She's very happy. She has a big function, but she is crying. Why? Why she is crying? Because she is separated from the daughter. But why she is so happy and having a big program? Because the daughter is going to his own house. She's going to be happy with him in his own house. So I explained to them, we devotee know that when the soul departs, he's going back to his own house. He's going back to the home, back to Godhead. So we will have always feast and chanting and dancing because he is going. But we also cry because we are separated from him. But we dance because he is going back. This is what it means actually. When sadhu departs, we sing, we sing kirtan, we go dancing and chanting, and then we have a feast. Because why? Because he is going back to his own home. He is going back to Godhead. He is going back to Krishna. So why should we be unhappy? That is the understanding of the devotee. Though he cries like a mother cries. So he has to cry. That is also natural. Mother also cry in the Western world? Now they stop crying. How many times they cry? Because then every day one marriage, another breaking. It's a big problem. So this culture is finished. Once crying is okay, but no repeated crying. This is really, even a person who has no relation with any of the main party, if he is standing there, he will cry. The scene is such of departure of the girl from the parents' house to the husband's house that anybody there is must cry. Hare Krishna. And somebody asked, the only one person who was not crying was the husband. And then somebody asked, why are they all crying and you are not crying? Huh? Say, I will cry all life.